The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, the Department of Finance today published its summer economic statement outlining spending projections and also sets out how much the government expects to have available for Budget 27. We're joined now by Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure, Infrastructure, Public Service Reform and Digitalisation. Minister, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. Can we start with the projected tax package for next year? 1.5 billion euros. It sounds like a large amount of money, but can I ask at the start, does that also include the 400 million that will be needed for the full implementation of last year's VAT cut for businesses of 9%?
So the 1.5 billion euro tax package is what's available for new measures. So the Taoiseach just set this out earlier today with colleagues from the Department of Finance, and the 450 million euro was accounted for in the annual progress report published in April of this year. So if you include the 450 million euro, it's a little more, but what's been set out today is what's available for new measures. So there's 1.5 billion euro available.
So it's net of any increase and the increased amount of money needed for VAT.
It accounts for the net position with the carryover costs already absorbed in the annual progress report.
I think I'm right in saying that if just to index the income tax system would cost over a billion euros. Some people are saying 1.1, 1.2. I don't know what the right amount is. But either way, it doesn't suggest a lot of money left for a major tax package.
So we've been clear as a government, we want to reward work and support workers. People have marginally increased take-home pay, and we want to give something back in Budget 27. It's an important cost of living measure. It's an important measure to support employment and incentivise work in the economy. And it'll be a critical focus for us, and how we design it is to target it for low middle income earners, ensuring certain earners don't enter the higher rate of tax as early as they do today for next year. And we have to look at that in the context of tax credits as well. And that'll be a major part of the overall tax package. But we're already also looking at other measures, Shane. So, for example, you know, we have a lot of feedback from people across the economy relating to inheritance tax. That's a consideration as well. And also enterprise taxation. How do we build and future-proof our economy in terms of SMEs, foreign direct investment? And, you know, that they're the wider considerations within the 1.5 billion parameters that we've set out.
It sounds like you're spreading the jam really thinly, because to come back to the point I made, if a billion plus is going to go just on indexation of the income tax, it leaves very little money for the other things you're talking about, increasing the rate at which you have to pay the top rate of tax, inheritance tax, which I do want to come back to, enterprise economy. I mean, you've 300 or 400 million euros for that. That's not much.
You can make progress in some of these areas. Obviously, we'd have to face the choices around that. But when I was Minister of Finance, we had a similarly sized tax package. I was able to, you know, bring about a substantive income tax package. We made adjustments on inheritance tax, and we also adjusted the research and development tax credit and made other changes in terms of supporting enterprise in the economy. So you can achieve a lot with that if the design of the, you know, of around the tax strategy is done correctly, and that's the work that we'll undertake now over the next number of weeks.
The increasing the rate at which you pay the 40% tax rate, I think it's 44,000 at the moment, is that a priority?
Well, I think that the threshold, that is a priority, and, you know,
so that will happen.
We want people to obviously has to be decided, but we want, you know, I think it's important in terms of rewarding work. A lot of, you know, low middle income earners entering the higher rate too soon is an issue, and I think it's an important signal to work in the economy that, particularly as incomes grow, that we, you know, alleviate people in particularly in that, in those income brackets, as well as, you know, tax credits can be used effectively to cushion low income workers as well. And
well, I was going to ask you, I think it's 1 in 3 people currently paying no income tax at all, and successive governments have been increasing that number. I think back in the Celtic Tiger, I think it had grown to maybe 1 in 2 people were paying no income tax at all, an unsustainable situation.
We need to be very careful about that.
Is that likely to be brought out of the tax net?
To balance your point, a lot of people are continuing to pay PRSI, people pay USC, obviously, and across different
Some people do, not everyone,
well,
I think.
A lot more people do than maybe the 1 in 3 that you referenced. But I accept that point, and we have to be careful about further narrowing of the tax base. We know there's a lot of concentration, particularly amongst high earners, and we have a very progressive tax system. But that's why we need to be careful in how we design the tax package so we don't excessively narrow the base.
Why are you focusing on inheritance tax, which is a tax, I think I read a stat somewhere, it's a tax that about 3% of the population will ever get to pay. And you're talking about people who are getting already €400,000 into their hands, completely tax-free. And you're saying to that group, which is probably, you know, as well off a group as you can imagine, we're going to give you even more tax-free amounts.
I think on that wider issue, in 10, 15 years ago, that was cut when property prices fell significantly and there were very limited adjustments made in the intervening period where a lot of people found themselves paying that tax when they wouldn't have maybe historically.
You still have a €400,000 tax exemption.
You do in category A, but you don't in categories B and C. We have a lot of, you know, people who've maybe mightn't have any children who would pay if something is handed down a lot of inheritance tax very quickly. And that
other countries don't have any hang-ups or any difficulty about levelling taxes in this regard.
Oh, well, we're not saying
it's seen as that we don't have a wealth tax. Is this not a form of a wealth tax?
I'm not saying to level it at all. I'm just saying I think in a budget where you've got room for manoeuvre on it from a tax policy perspective, you can make marginal adjustments. I mean, we're not talking about it being the dominant theme of our tax package. But I think it is an important consideration. You reference people who worked in the, I would say that, you'd reference certain instances. A lot of people who worked in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s paid huge amounts of income tax and have, I want to have
a lot of them bought houses that were very cheap at the time and are now worth paid 15, 20 times what that house is worth.
But and also I paid very high mortgage interest at the time too. So look, this is about a marginal adjustment or a consideration of that in the budget. I don't think the issue can be ignored, and that's what we're considering in the wider.
Is this a Fine Gael issue more than a Fianna Fáil issue? Is this just part of the price of coalition?
No, absolutely not. It's an issue for we would have referenced it in our own manifesto. It's something that we hear on the doorsteps. It was brought up by my colleagues.
How many doorsteps do you hear it on? Because there's vast chunks of the country that where houses aren't even worth €400,000.
You hear about income tax on certain doorsteps. You hear about inheritance tax from people, and we have to consider these issues and ensure that we reflect them in the context of the tax package.
When you look at the amount, and it is a difficult juggling act, and you look at the amount that you have to spend in terms of a sizable tax package and whatever it is, 1.5 billion, and the amount even from indexing it that's going to go just for that. Do you regret the decision to reduce the VAT rate to 9% on businesses? It would give you a lot more scope for income tax cuts if you hadn't done that, if you hadn't given that huge amount to a relatively small number of businesses.
Well, look, we made decisions last year around the hospitality sector and also around construction and a particular focus on housing supply. And, there's be €450 million differential in 27 if we hadn't made that decision. But I think that was important to stabilise that sector. You're seeing moves we made in other countries. Germany made a move, for example, around this a few months ago. We're seeing other countries consider it as well. We know the cost.
Do big chains of fast food, they really need a 9% tax rate?
The focus of this was on actual small SMEs and a lot of restaurants in regions that were struggling to
sustain themselves.
It's a very
blunt instrument though, wasn't it?
Tax is. And I suppose, but I think, it's something that we've made. Actually, there's a huge amount of this, tens of thousands of people working across this sector, and it was as much about protecting jobs and supporting small businesses across communities. And that was the main consideration around this. And in this budget, we're prioritising income tax.
Okay. Can I ask you about the spending plans? I think the plan is to limit spending next year to 5.9%. Is that the right amount?
Yep.
Some people would say there's as much chance of Kilkenny winning an All-Ireland football championship as there is of the government sticking to that 5.9. You've said that every year for the last 6 or 7 years, and every year the budget is blown. Will this year be any different?
But I would say so far this year, we're 1% under the planned spend across government. 15 of 18 government departments are actually under profile. We've some challenges, particularly in the Department of Health, and we've levied other departments though to pay for the additionality required in education.
Well, we get to the broader point, how did you get education so wrong? I mean, we're not talking about health where it can be difficult to quantify the number of people who are going to get sick. In health, with education, all the numbers there in advance. €700 million out. I mean, that's That's laughable if it wasn't so serious.
Absolutely. Now, I would say to counter that point, we've increased education spend from 25 to 26 by 10%. So the growth rate in education spend was higher than most other government departments. Additional demands emerged and government, there was a choice around whether we'd drive greater reforms or efficiencies or whether we'd reprofile spend towards the Department of Education. And we've obviously wanted to prioritise education, and rightly so, but that has a consequence around other government spending. And that's why...
Plan for that spending.
We planned for a 10% growth in spending for education year on year, which is more than most government departments.
Yeah.
Additional demands emerged, which we've now accounted for. But I think it is important to have a better discussion on efficiencies, reforms and enhanced expenditure control, something I am doing across government. And I think that's yielding an overall moderation in spend.
Okay, but I repeat the question again. Why will 2027 be any different from 2026, 2025, 2024, 2023 and so on?
Well, we've enhanced expenditure environment. We've increased fiscal discipline. We've got a number of departments.
There's very little evidence of that, Minister. There's zero evidence of that.
I gave you the evidence. 15 out of 18 departments are under profile at the midpoint in 2026. That's very different to what happened in previous years. We have also, we're not just adding more in the context of the education challenge which we had earlier in the year. There's burden sharing across government, which enhances overall moderation of government expenditure, which I'm doing and delivering. And also where we've corrective action, myself and Minister Carol McNeill are at one on driving greater reforms in the Department of Health and the HSE in terms of moderating the health spend, where there's been a marginal overrun so far this year. So I think we're overall actually, there's greater expenditure control. But of course, we've got more to do. And I'm serious about moderating the growth in expenditure. And the reason we need to do that is to protect capital investment and in infrastructure and housing, which is our route to growth and prosperity in the long term.
Okay, but even if what you're saying is true about that, you know, you've got a handle on costs and most departments are playing ball in relation to that. Looking at the year ahead, you've got a public sector pay deal, you've got welfare increases. There's going to be pressure on in relation to the cost of living. There's going to be pressure on not to end the cuts in excise duty that are due to run out by the end of December. If the war in Iran continues, there'll be huge pressure. Housing, Department of Housing apparently is looking for an increased allocation. How are you possibly going to keep spending down to 5.9% given all those spending pressures?
It's a 7 billion euro expenditure increase. It's really significant. It's more than most European countries.
Sorry to cut across, and I will let you answer the question. But you spent a billion quid at the drop of a hat in March on temporary excise duty.
That was mainly on the taxation side, and it was temporary, time bound, and mainly targeted around some of the measures. And obviously we're phasing that out through 2026. But again, my focus is on the total level of expenditure. If we continue to have budgetary discussions on where the 7 billion goes, rather than where the 125 billion euro goes, then that creates an unsustainable level of expectation. And that's why we need greater reforms. We need better outputs from the level of expenditure we've already put into the system in the last 5 to 6 years. And actually, the people listening to this programme, driving home this evening, they want to know as much about how the system works for them, how they get the appointment, how they get the service, how they see the upside of the level of tax they're paying in terms of service delivery. Mm. And that's why the focus this year and in future years has to be as much about reform as it is where different departments are getting.
And undoubtedly that is the case. But I think as spending doubled since 2026, I mean, I don't see much evidence of reform in that time. I've seen runaway spending increases.
You talked about
other European countries. Is there any other European country whose spending has doubled in the last decade?
No, that's why I want to moderate it. That's why I want to put us back on a more sustainable expenditure course. That's why the medium term expenditure framework we've agreed between now and 2030 has an average growth rate of 6% between 2026 and 2030, on the backdrop of expenditure increasing by 9.4% in the previous 5 to 6 years. And my job as Minister of Public Expenditure is to drive reform, is to have better focus on how we prioritise staffing in certain public service areas where it aligns with government objectives, rather than increases everywhere. And I'm absolutely focused on more efficiencies, greater reforms and much tighter expenditure control. And that gives government the space to drive the programme for government commitments that we have.
How worried are you at our dependency on corporation tax? I think is it 35 billion, I think, is coming from corporation tax. It's estimated about 20 billion that comes from 10 companies. There's nothing on the horizon, immediate horizon, that suggests that money is going to disappear. But, you know, we're talking about reducing inheritance tax, reducing income tax. And at the same time, we have this huge dependency on one income stream. If anything happens to that, we're massively into budget deficit territory, very much like what happened with the Celtic Tiger when the housing crash happened.
Yeah, but we're shielding income growth with moderate changes to income tax. The tax package is much smaller than many of the budgets that you've referenced in that period. And the expenditure growth is much lower than that period.
Well, projected expenditure growth.
But even this year, as I said, we've achieved moderation across many different departments.
Not overall, though.
We're spending so far this year is at 6.9%. That's the current profile of spend. And obviously, we have to continue to monitor and strengthen controls. What I would say is that's why it's absolutely important that we put money aside for the future. By the end of this year, we'll have 24 billion set aside in the two long-term funds that we've set up. We'll run a general government balance of, published at springtime, about 9 billion euro of a surplus this year. When every opposition party is looking for us to spend everything today and tomorrow, we're a government that is putting money aside in our two long-term funds because we owe it to the next generation.
Sure. Okay, very final question on a totally different issue, not in your bailiwick, but I'm curious for your personal view. Would you ban e-scooters? Would you prefer e-scooters to be banned?
Well, look, I welcome the first step being made by my colleagues around much heavier regulation. I was canvassing actually on Saturday in Blanchardstown. It was actually you're asking me what's brought up on the doors. It's a serious issue on the doors. I'd say it was the majority issue from people brought up with me.
I believe it.
And we need heavy regulation, a much tougher system. And I think, as government has said, a ban should be left on the table. And if what we're doing doesn't work, I think we should consider a ban because they're causing serious issues for many pedestrians. And, you know, there are serious health and safety risks for people on them and people that have been struck by them in the past.
Okay, we will leave it there. Jack Chambers, Minister for Public Expenditure Reform, Digitalisation, Public Service Reform, Digitalisation and Infrastructure. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.